Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 29 through 40. And it came to pass that when he drew near to Bethage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it, bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you are loosening it, thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it." So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosening the colt, the owners of it said to them, "Why are you loosening the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of him." Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And these are the words of our Lord. I've been in church many years, and it wasn't until I went to a course of study that I learned that the word Hosanna means save us. So there's always something new for us to learn, regardless of how many times we have read through the Bible. Shall we pray? Almighty God, we do thank you for the gift that we are able to come into this house to read your word, to sit together, to praise, and to sing hosannas, and to ask you to save us, and to ask you into our heart. As we continue with this service this morning, Lord, may the words that I speak be those that you have chosen to be heard. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Over the last several weeks since the beginning of Lent, we have been talking about a variety of sins. And we have talked about the sin of rejection, and that was actually the very first Sunday of Lent, and I had the opportunity to preach on that. Self-righteousness we talked about. We talked about our hearts being hard. In our scripture this morning, we celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and this is a happy day. We celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Or do we? Do we? There's many times in our lives that we share in celebrations. We share and we laugh and we rejoice with people when we go to a baby shower at the coming of this new child into our lives, of the gift of this new child in our lives. And when we go, ladies, we all know that when we go to those showers, we don't always know everybody that's there. But we laugh with them, we shake their hands, we celebrate the birth of this child to come. We go to weddings, and a lot of weddings, they place you at a table, and sometimes you don't know the people that are sitting there with you at that table. But what do? We sit there. We introduce ourselves. We talk sometimes about what we do, our jobs, of course, you know, what we do in life. And we celebrate the wedding and how beautiful the bride was as she walked down the aisle and the wonderful flowers and music. And we just talk and celebrate that day and celebrate the beginning of this new life together that this couple is sharing. And then, of course, we have those sporting events. We will stand up and hug anybody if our team wins. We will stand there and we will share popcorn with the person next to us that we don't even know. For 6 years, when my son was in middle school and high school football, I never missed a game. Rain, snow, sleet, it didn't matter. Mom was there shouting with the rest of the crowd, Some I knew, some I didn't know, but boy, did I let it out. And sometimes it was even questioning the eyes of the referee. We shout, we celebrate, we let people know that we're there and this is our team. My family is a Washington Redskin family. I heard another clap over there. Yeah, hey. And the Washington Redskins, they've had three victories in the Super Bowl. 1983, 1987, and 1992. I watched on TV, along with the rest of my family, as the team came home from winning these Super Bowl games. There were people all over the place. Big number one foam hands with that one finger up saying, "We're number one," everywhere you went. People had signs in their yards as you drove down the street celebrating the win of the Washington Redskins. We won. I love that. We won. Most of us weren't even there, but we won. Those words was on the lips of all the Redskin fans. Talking in the grocery store to people they didn't even know, how about those skins? You know, how about them? As I envision Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem, it's kind of it's the same way, much in the same manner. People were praising, they were cheering, they were shouting, "Hosanna! Save us." They were calling out, "Hallelujah," calling him Master. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Can you see him? Close your eyes just a minute. Take yourself back to that time. Can you see them all standing around shouting, throwing their clothes off, their cloaks on the ground so that Christ did not walk on the dirt? Just imagine all of these people gathered, not knowing each other, but celebrating together. A great event this was in the lives of those folks that day. Do we celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem? The Pharisees were among a lot of those folks that were celebrating and rejoicing Christ's entry. They were watching the crowd. They didn't like what they saw. Didn't like it at all. They were hearing the shouts and the joy and the praises that was going up for this man. This ministry was growing. And they didn't approve of that. Did not approve at all. This man was somebody that they needed to deal with. And they had to do that quick because his ministry was growing way too fast. That day was a measure of his popularity among the folks. The people there who were celebrating didn't know that in the background there were people plotting the demise of Jesus their Christ. They were there trying to plan ways that they could stop this mighty mystery. And once they figured out what they were going to do, then they would grab him and they would take him and be done with it. They knew that whatever they were going to do had to be done very soon. Very soon. So how do you stop the crowd from following this man? In the usual manner, the Pharisees, of course, was always trying to trick Jesus up. So they approached him and they asked him to quiet down this crowd. "Don't you know that you're in the city of Jerusalem? This is a sacred space, for heaven's sakes. Why are you allowing these people to shout and make all this noise and to celebrate? This is just causing mayhem throughout the city. This party has to stop. It's not right." And I really do just love the way that Jesus responded to them. You know, if I shut them up, what's going to happen? If I shut those people up, the cobblestones, the stones right here are going to shout out. The stones will shout. What a story. I just couldn't even imagine what it would have been like had the crowd quieted down and the stones would have shouted out. This man called Jesus, he knew that those folks were filled that day with faith, that they were filled with the Spirit. They were filled with so much Spirit that even the stones, those cobblestones, could feel it. Everything could be felt. Can you imagine standing in the middle of a Spirit-filled and faith-filled crowd, sharing your joy with shouts of praise and shouts of worship? Being in that crowd, not being afraid to speak out. Praise, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Not being afraid to say that. Being dedicated to the Master. Being a group that is not afraid to declare Christ as their Savior. Hosanna, save us. The Pharisees tried to stifle the enthusiasm of the crowd, and they had been trying to stifle that enthusiasm ever since Christ started his ministry. Unfortunately for us today, the Pharisees are still trying to stifle Christ. We're told that we can't insult anyone by speaking about our faith. Be careful now, you may say something that's politically incorrect or socially inappropriate. Don't talk about what Christmas is really about. Don't go around saying Merry Christmas. You have to say Happy Holidays. If you say Merry Christmas, somebody might get the idea that it is a celebration of Christ. So don't do that. No one needs to know why we're celebrating right now. No one needs to know that the greatest gift that was ever given was a baby born on Christmas Day. No one needs to know that. We're just going to say Happy Holiday, and it's just a school break, and, you know, we'll give you a little bit of time off from work so you can enjoy some family time together, maybe a little R&R with your family. That's the important part, not the reason why. Shh. Somebody might hear you. Don't let anyone know that God came. A part of God came as that child to save a hurting world. Don't let anybody hear that. Unfortunately, there's way too many of us that listen to that. We have refrained from expressing our faith, and as a result of that, our passion for Christ is gone. We're not seen as a threat in the world today because we're allowing the world to keep us quiet. We have been quiet far too long, my brothers and sisters. Far too long have we worshiped and praised God privately. We have kept our Christianity to ourselves. We have kept God's grace to ourselves. Far too long we've been quiet. And it's difficult now. It is difficult for us to step out into the public eye and speak about Christ in our life. It is difficult, and we fear it sometimes. Sometimes we're even ashamed to declare our faith. We've become the silent Christians, not the ones that are praising. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for allowing the Pharisees to silence our joy. Forgive us for curbing our enthusiasm for our ministry. Forgive us for allowing the world to make us lukewarm disciples. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for not asking to pray for someone who we knew was hurting or for someone that was in need. Forgive us, God. The stones that you hold in your hands this morning are representing our sins of omission. That stone represents every time we have neglected to pray for somebody that needed our prayers. That stone represents every time that we had the opportunity to say, I believe in Jesus, and we didn't. That stone represents every time that we could share what the grace of God has done in our life, and we didn't do it. That stone represents every time we neglected to invite a friend, a family member, a coworker to worship. They represent the sins of our silence. Today, as we lay the stones at the foot of the cross, know that they represent those sins of omission. As we lay them at the foot of the cross, I pray that our passion will once again become alive, that our love for Christ will be known, and we will be willing to walk out of these doors into this world, carrying His love and His grace with us to everyone that we meet. May our love for Christ be known to all. These stones are silent, but we can sing our praises to God. Amen. This morning, as JL prepares to close us out in music, the song is Join the Song. So we do ask you to stand and join them as they're singing and to bring those stones forward, our stones of omission, and lay them at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah.